This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I'm Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 15th, episode 2349, brought to you by Stateline Tack. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. I have to give a special shout out. This is even pre-Daily Winnie, Jamie. That's how special it is. This is, well, I just heard a rumor through a little birdie that there is a very special three-year-old named Ainsley who absolutely loves Scooter. She thinks Scooter is the cutest thing ever and loves the name Scooter and thinks that's the best pony name ever. So I want Ainsley to know that I told Scooter this morning when I went out to feed him and that he loves you too. So Scooter has a super fan. So I know Scooter has a lot of fans, but Ainsley is the most special fan.
That is awesome. Hi, Ainsley. That's great.
Also, an update on Karen's horse, Bo, which we talked about on Monday. He pooped again, but he's still moving the impaction out. His white blood cell count is back to normal. He's starting to eat again, and apparently he's quite hungry because he hasn't eaten in a few days. He'll be coming off of IV fluids, and apparently they're walking him, and the doctor thinks there's a good prognosis that he'll get out of the hospital and that he'll be okay. So we're very happy to hear that. That was something I know listeners were asking about, and we're very happy to hear about that. So that's the update. Let's do some Daily Winnies. Well, I have to first say a very happy birthday. To my sister-in-law, Lynn. Happy birthday to Lynn. Also, our famous dog training friend, Chrissy Joy. You've seen her dogs in Chewy commercials and movies and all over the place. Apparently, she's going to be on a movie set again in this week. So, happy birthday to her as well. Also, auditors Amanda Haas, Alex Sherman, and Elizabeth Toby. Happy birthday to all of you.
Can I just back up and ask you a question? You gave a birthday Winnie to your sister-in-law. Is that who it was?
Yes. Yep.
What are the chances she's listening to this?
Oh, I already told her I was going to do it. So she might actually listen.
Slim. Better than zero, but less than 2%.
Exactly. Chrissy Joy won't be listening either, but.
I know. What, they're so busy. My Daily Winnie.
Family and friends do not listen to your podcast. That's the first rule you learn as a podcaster.
You know what? I don't even like my friends to listen because they'll go, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're podcast. I'm like, listen, you don't have to participate. It's too much me. To know me and to listen to me is too much.
Besides,
me.
If I talk about you, then I get in trouble.
And that's the main reason is that I'm talking about you. And yeah, whatever. Anyway, Daily Winnie, I don't know. I've been vacillating between what to actually talk about. I'm really excited that I have a friend here in Oklahoma and she's bringing her horse over to my house today to ride with me. I know. I bet you met her. Larissa, she's a crazy person who drove to Kentucky.
Yeah, she's super nice. So wait a minute. Both have friends now.
Isn't that weird? Mine lives like 40 minutes away, though. Yours is in your
next door. Yeah.
But you know what? I've been living here a year. How long have you been living there?
7. And exactly. It took 6 to get 2 friends that are living in the neighborhood. So.
Oh, gosh. Well, mine's not in the neighborhood, but she's coming over. She's bringing her horse over. She has a beautiful and here's the thing. This is why I'm friends
with
her. Just
to rub it in your face.
And guess what color he is?
White.
No.
No, black?
He is jet black Andalusian stallion 17 hands. Like, could you die?
I mean, he's amazing. And passages, too.
I don't want to talk about it. But she's bringing him over to my house today. So I usually get to, like,
ride
sit on him.
Play on him?
I get to sit on him and take pictures. So that'll be my daily Winnie. I'll give it to Larissa. Get over here, girl. I'm excited. And by the way, it's like 60 degrees right now. And by tonight, it's going to be like 20. So we got to get
this
done.
You got a good day for riding, though. 60 is perfect.
Yeah, it's ticking down quickly, the temperature.
Well, that's good. Andalusians don't care.
Hey, I also got another horse in training. And a lot of, you know, these polo players, they like their horses little, short, and stocky. I did not know
well,
that.
It helps to reach the ground.
Well, I would have thought, okay, short, that's fine. But, like, I would have thought they would like a little thinner built. No, they like them like little quarter horse types of thoroughbreds. And so
well, they have to be off the mark quick. You know, they have to be quick starters.
I didn't really think all that hard about it, but I had this horse Valid's final, and he's a bloodlines of some polo player, but he's 16 hands. And this lady in Texas has called me about him. 16 hands. Oh, that's way too big. To me, it wasn't that big, but let me know next time you get a 15 hand mare in. And apparently they all like mares. So
isn't that
what
weird?
Most
of the polo horses are mares.
Yeah. It's not like they're breeding. I mean, they just really like the mares. So she's like, next time you get a 15
hand. Maybe because they're so vicious and competitive.
I guess so. Probably get that right, brother. So this horse I got in training this week is a 15 1/2 inch mare, not 15 and 15 1. She is the
That's
perfect
like you telling
polo
me you're
size.
5'2 3/4.
I am 5'2 3/4, but but basically they like him 15 to 15 1. She's like, next time you get one of those mares in, you let me know. Well, I got one, and she's already filled out an adoption application, and I've had the horse 2 days.
Next.
Next. Isn't that cool?
Are they giving you a bonus? You're actually finding the homes for most of these horses, too.
No, I can't sell one of my own damn horses, but I'm getting them homes. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. They all need homes. My horses have a home. These guys
true.
Need jobs. So anyway, but yeah, I'm pretty excited. So we'll see how that goes. I'll keep you posted.
Cool. Very good. Well, we have coming up on today's show, we have some weird news. We have a crappy list. We're having guest Peter Prince on, who is doing a CD fundraiser for the Mustang Heritage Foundation. And it involves us, the Horses in the Morning Show, and also involves Templeton Thompson. So us and Tempe in the same place.
I did not sign off on anything.
You didn't
so
have
you know.
To. I own the company. So
you own me.
Actually, I didn't even tell you about this. And then we're gonna do another WISA segment of a company we found called Tatini Riding Boots. It's actually an English boots, which was a very strange sight at WISA with all those cowboy boots. Abby's back with Chronicle and History, and then we have some good news, happy news stories
and weird
to
news
end the day. Yep, we're starting with weird news right now.
Okay, so do you want to start with the audio that I sent you? This is from a Canadian, it's the Canadian Family Feud, okay? And they're up, it's not Steve Harvey, I'm sure some famous Canadian guy that's hosting this Family Feud. And there's
they have a Family Feud in Canada? Everybody's nice.
There's no feuds in Canada. This is called Family Fun is what this show
they
is
don't
called.
Even call it feud, see?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I made that up.
No, it is called Family Feud, apparently.
yeah. It's a game show. Anyway, so there's two people. They go up to the pedestal and they got to hit the thing and like make the guess. Okay, so here is the actual Canadian Family Feud.
All right, no team has reached 300 points, which means we're going to sudden death. Give me Logan. Give me Eve.
Eve is very buxom, beautiful blonde with a short dress.
Yes, she is. I will verify that.
There's one question, only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken!
Oh my God!
Show me chicken!
Spinach, Jerry.
Show me spinach!
The host, so when she said chicken, she actually like shimmied around.
Yeah,
chicken,
she knew the answer.
And showed her little, she was very into that. And so the actual host repeatedly like was like, chicken. I mean, it was so funny. We'll have to post this on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page because it's awesome. But there's a follow-up to the story.
Chicken.
Okay. You ready?
Was she from the South? I mean,
they're Canadian. They're Northern Southern. Maybe. I don't know where they're from. Yeah. So on Friday, Popeye's restaurant decided to offer her a consolation prize. And their press release says, our survey says that you got it right. We are giving you $10,000 worth of Popeye's chicken.
Oh my God.
There's now a hashtag that goes along with it, and it's hashtag all capital letters chicken. Ian. It's hilarious. So play it one more time because it's so good.
We'll get up to the point where they're.
Beth, give me Logan, give me Eve.
It just gets me off guard.
All right. Real simple. There's one question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
And she looks like a Southern Belle. She really does.
She is like bleach blonde, little Barbie doll kind of chick, man. And she just flaunts that
host
answer.
Lost it.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's so great. Let's move out. Let's go from Canada to Colorado. Colorado, I guess people still rob banks, Glenn. Even
yes,
with
do.
All the technology, yes, they just do. Rob banks still?
Yes. Yeah, they do.
So an alleged bank robber in Colorado apparently wanted to spread some Christmas joy before he was arrested. Apparently, this man who ironically kind of looks like Santa Claus with the gray beard and the gray hair, but he's not wearing Santa Claus clothes. But apparently he went into the branch of Academy Bank near the intersections of East Pikes Peak and South Tejon Street and robbed them around 12:30 in the afternoon. So, like, you know, lunch rush. He is 65 years old.
Oh, that's and, old for a bank robber.
Yeah. And so he threatened to use a weapon and left the bank with an undisclosed amount of cash. Well, police found him sitting in front of a coffee shop, two doors down. Arrested him without incident, but not before he walked down the middle of the street with his giant bags of cash and threw them up in the air saying, Merry Christmas! Throwing the cash into the sky, and then went and sat down and had a cup of coffee.
No police alcohol took him involved in, without in incident. That at all.
That's one of those things, like, if you've ever seen the movie where the prison movie was Shawshank, and the guy's like, I just want to go back to prison. You know, like, maybe this guy just really wanted to get back in there. Like, how peacefully can I get arrested?
So you know yesterday, what? There was a story out of New York City. A guy robbed four banks. They arrested him. Apparently, New York City has now changed. They have a no bail policy if it wasn't a violent crime. So even if you rob a bank, it's not violent, they let you out with no bail. Well, he went on to exclaim very loudly outside a bank, I can't believe they let me out of jail, and immediately went in and robbed another one.
Peacefully. Hi. Can I have some money?
They let me out. Okay. It must have been bad. I'll just do another one.
Maybe he won't get caught the next time.
Maybe rethink the policy a little bit.
All right. Give me the sounder.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was still stuck on chicken.
All right. Let's let's head over to China. Shall we go to Guilin, China? And there's a sweet family that went into an Audi dealership. Okay. It's a mother and a father and their 3-year-old girl. And the father was looking at some cars. I mean, he was looking at some fancy cars and he kind of decided, you know what? We'll come back. We'll come back. As they were walking out, they were stopped. Because apparently, while he was looking at cars, his daughter was scribbling on the side, 3 years old, scribbling artwork onto the side of 10 separate automobiles, including one car valued at more than $140,000.
Oh.
The dealership has sued the father.
She wasn't riding Scooter, was she?
Doodling Scooter's picture into, like, what was she using to scratch it? I mean,
no, usually they just give them crayons.
Quarter or something, scraping on the wall. I don't know. Anyway, she did $28,000 worth of damage is what they're suing for. And
so they're suing the dude?
They're suing the dude for $28,000 over the damage caused. Now, I guess this happened a little while ago because the end of the story is they reported this in December that the dealership settled for $10,000. But $10,000.
Imagine they would have insurance too, you know.
Yeah, you would think. You would think.
maybe
okay,
keep an eye on your kid even when you're shopping.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Two more. We have to end in Florida, right?
Apparently.
Okay. We'll hit the sounder.
Okay. Oh, hold on.
Are we not? There we go. All right, so an act of desperation, we're going to head down to Brazil. And Donna Maria Chiave failed her driver's license test 3 times in Brazil. And so her son, Heitor Marcio Chiave, 43 years old, decided to take matters into his own hands. And on December 10th, he stuffed a bra, put on a long skirt and makeup and showed up at the State Department claiming to be his mother, ready to take the test again. The examiner became suspicious and called the military police because she said, "I thought she was drunk at first, but then I realized the student was actually a man." He pitied his mother for failing 3 times. He was arrested for fraudulent misrepresentation and released, and he's going to face a fine. That one dude that loves his mama, or
no, his mama was just whining the entire time. He was sick of the whining.
Oh my gosh.
I flunked again. She was crying and whining.
All right, let's go to Florida.
All right.
I mean, if you're gonna, we've talked about bank robbers, we've talked about Audi dealerships. If you're gonna steal big. And that is what this Florida man did. So he walks into a convenience store in Polk County. Where's Polk County, Glenn?
Somewhere in Florida.
Okay. He's in Polk County. And it was a Citgo gas station and a man walked inside. He's 49-year-old Gabriel Tillman walks inside the gas station and he decides he's going to grab and go. And he steals a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi and he grabs it and he starts to run out the door. And then the guy who's behind the counter realizes that this guy is about to run out of the store without paying for it. And he pushed a button that remotely locks the doors. Well, you think he'd give up? No, he tries to throw his body against the door repeatedly. It was like the Princess Bride where the guy's trying to chase the guy. He's like throwing himself against it. And then he it won't break. It's unbreakable glass. So his attempts fail. Then he picks up a fire extinguisher, starts slamming that against the door. Nothing was able to bust down the door. Apparently, eventually the sheriffs got there and they arrested him. But the Florida man who literally went to jail stealing a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi.
And this is right below Orlando, by the way. So right in
perfect.
The middle.
Go to Disney. Have yourself a good day.
Well, we weren't going to have time for the list, but I have a couple of stories here for you. I want to congratulate because we met Samantha and I doing the WEG show have met this family several times and we got to interview them. They're nicest people. I want to congratulate 3 members of the same family, and that's the Eccles family out of England. It's Joanne, Hannah, and John, and they are vaulters, but not just any old vaulters. They are a serious vaulting family. get this, Joanne won 5 gold, 4 silver, and 2 bronze medals and championships in her lifetime. Hannah has 3 gold, 3 silver, 1 bronze. And Dad, who is the lunger, has 6 senior championship gold medals. So it's a they have a lot of medals. They have a room for that. But they are just the nicest people, and they're a vaulting family, and they recently won a very prestigious FEI badge of honor for their achievements in the equestrian sport. So congratulations to them. They deserve it. They're just a super nice family. And if you want to go on a cattle drive, have you ever actually been? I know you've been to Dude Ranches. Have you ever driven cattle?
No, because that is too much work. Well, and I feel like I'm driving them to their death, but go ahead.
Well, this is going to be a lot of work because apparently they're planning the Great Florida Cattle Drive in 2021. I actually think this goes through Polk County, to be honest.
It's
down
steal
that
Pepsi.
Way. So in December of 2021, a group of Florida cow hunters, they call them, will spend a week herding approximately 1,000 cattle on the Deseret Ranch. Now, the Deseret Ranch is big. It's 300,000 acres and spans 3 counties. So what you're going to do is you're going to go help round up these cattle, and they're going to drive them about 10 to 12 miles a day over a state. They need to move them about 60 miles. Anybody can sign up as long as you have a horse to ride or a horse and mule to that you can pull a wagon with, because they have to bring all the supplies to support.
Oh,
so
my
those
God,
people...
you got to not only just have a horse, you got to have a damn good one to go through all that.
Now, you're going to be camping. The camping will be primitive, and apparently you will be fed, though. You'll be able to get 3 meals a day. They're going to provide that and water for the horses and everybody. But you will be camping out in the middle of nothingness. This is very remote Florida. In 1995, they did this. And 600 people came out with their horses. 600 riders made the journey. So they're expecting 1,000 this year. It's greatfloridacattledrive.org if you're interested. It's in December of 2021. And you know what? Some of our listeners would probably go do this.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I think it'd be really fun.
They said it's the most remote parts of Florida. And Jemmy and I have driven through some of those parts. Let me tell you what. It's pretty remote. There's nothing down there.
Really?
So, yeah.
It's not just swamp? They're not even driving, going in the swamp, are they?
It's swampy in a lot of those places. And they're probably at gators down there, but it is remote. And anybody that's driven on the Florida Turnpike from Orlando to Miami knows that there's a lot of remote parts of Florida. It's just half the state is nothing. So, yeah, that's where they have the cattle, and that's what you can do. One other quick story before we get to our guest, and that's Bruce Springsteen is doing good deeds for the U.S. equestrian team again. Of course, his daughter Jessica is an equestrian team member and has been for a number of years. They're doing a big auction to raise money to send the team to the Olympics in 2020, which is, a few months away. So he has donated, and apparently he very seldom ever does this, but he has a signed Fender guitar that he's used in concerts that he's donated to be auctioned off, and also his signed Harley-Davidson motorcycle. So
forget the Harley as long as it's signed.
So, yeah, and they're also they also have other things. You can get tickets to go to the Olympics. And then also Mars Equestrian is doing VIP tickets for the Daytona 500, which is coming up. So, there's lots of big things being auctioned off, and it's this weekend. So they're going to be having the auction in Wellington this weekend. And, you know, the kind of people that live in Wellington will pay big bucks for this stuff. So good on Bruce for donating and supporting the team. That'll probably raise more money than anything else would.
Wow. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So a lot of good.
Use your power for good.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of that stuff. I mean, he's still releasing music. He just had a new album out, but and new videos involving horses and everything. But yeah, he's still out there doing the good thing for the horse world. Right now, over at State Line TAC, they're doing a WinTech sale at 25% off select models. You can head over there today to do that. But they also do a special fundraiser to help 4-H kids. And a lot of our listeners probably started in 4-H. You know, in certain parts of the country, 4-H is huge. And
oh, yeah.
They do. They support 4-H in a big way. And I think Stateline always has, even back to the old days of Stateline. But that information is also on there, and how you can help out and the kind of support that they give to 4-H is over there on their website at statelinetech.com. And they also have a big sale on winter riding products, which right now you're going to need. It will get cold again, and apparently is supposed to, and some rain coming. So they, you can go over there. They have winter in their winter store. They have stuff for the barn, for the horse, for the rider. They have riding apparel. They have boots of all kinds. Turnout blankets, you can find all of that at Stateline Tech in the winter riding section. One other thing they wanted me to mention is the Heart to Horse box. Remember, we've advertised that in the past. They have one of those monthly boxes that comes to you with all kinds of goodies in it. And I know a lot of our listeners subscribe to that, but you can subscribe to that also. It's called the Heart to Horse box, and get your surprise. It's like a box of crap every month.
But like, you know, the good stuff.
They're real crap. Yeah, that's right.
So. I got a bag of horse cookies for Christmas, and I got to tell you that horse cookies do not last around my house. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because the freaking Jack Russell jumped up on the counter, knocked it off, and they tore it open and ate most of the horse cookies.
Oh, really?
All four of my dogs. I walk in, I'm like, what's going on? They all look at me like, he did it. And they all like cookie drool coming out of their mouth.
Apparently, they're so, dog-approved horse cookies.
So, Kayla, thanks for sending me the dog cookies.
Well, our next guest up is Peter Prince. And, Peter, we played a song called Cobra the Mustang a while back. And Peter wrote and sang that song. And he wrote that for Marsha Hartford Sapp. Cobra is Marsha's world champion Mustang. And we had Marsha on and talked about that. And this all kind of ties together in a vicious circle. Peter, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Great to be with you. Great to be with you and Jamie.
Well, now, I think most of our listeners probably know about Cobra, but can you just give a quick overview for the new listeners that maybe don't know about Marsha's horse?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just wanted to say that the song, just so everyone understands, the song was written by me, but is performed in the video by a Nashville vocalist named Ronnie Kimball.
Oh, wow.
So I want to give Ronnie props for that.
Okay.
And then later on, as we'll talk, it also landed in the hands of Templeton Thompson, which of course is very exciting. But, Cobra, I found out about Cobra and wrote this song, actually through, the parents of Marsha Hartford Sapp. I did not know Marsha personally, but I did know her parents because we had been friends for something like about 9 years. And I was fishing buddies with her dad, Dana. And I found out about the story through both Dana and his wife, Colleen, and really was motivated or really inspired to write the song when Dana showed me the briar, the box, of Cobra. And I learned in looking at that box and learned about the story of this horse that nobody really wanted because he was deemed unadoptable. Three-strike Mustang held in the Bureau of Land Management facilities. And just by fate, call it what you will, Marsha happened to be able to secure him for a Mustang Heritage Foundation program called the Mustang Extreme Makeover. He was a little problematic at the beginning for her, but Marsha came from a background in Maine where she worked on a farm, and I think a lot of Marsha's qualities, the persistence, never giving up, that sort of thing, really helped her in dealing with this horse. And she believed in him, and it's just a remarkable story, and it caught my attention as a songwriter, and I decided I'll write a song about the Cinderella horse.
Well, so, and remember too, he finished out pretty good at being the 2018 All Breeds National Champion at FEI Pre-St. George, and then he won Horse of the Year for the U.S. Yeah, I mean, that's the highest honor a horse can receive, and the Mustang, the three-strike Mustang, won it. And by the way, a Mustang getting all the way up to Pre-St. George is nothing to sneeze at. That is so incredible.
Right, absolutely. No, I'm not. I am well aware of the amazing achievements of this horse.
Oh, I'm not telling you. I'm telling the people that are listening.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Now, you wrote the song. You know him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right. The CD fundraiser is dedicated to, or is an honoring of his induction into the 2019 USEF Equus Hall of Fame. I mean, that you can't do much better than that. I mean, along with all the other honors that you know, that the they achieved together. So
this is a CD. It's a fundraiser for the Mustang Heritage Foundation. And first of all, is this CD called Cobra the Mustang?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's called Cobra the Mustang. There are, it's really a combination or a compilation, if you want, of different, people of different backgrounds contributing, whether it be myself as a songwriter, the beautiful artwork of Melody De Benedictis. One of the reasons I came up with this idea is that online I happened to see this beautiful painting, oil painting. Well, it's a photo of the oil painting by Melody De Benedictis. She's a singer-songwriter as well as painter of the Wild Mustang. She lives out in New Mexico. And I happened to see this, and I thought, wow, you know, if we pulling our talents together, it would really make for a nice fundraiser. And then, of course, part of this whole thing, this has been a journey for me, just like it was for Marsha and Cobra, in the sense that this, you know, from writing a song, you know, it led to a video, which led to, you know, winning a film festival awards and meeting wonderful people along the way, such as yourselves and Gary Holt as well, and a whole bunch of, you know, and of course, meeting Marsha. I did get a chance to meet Marsha down in Florida. Well, that was quite a trip, and meet Cobra for the first time face to face. And
on the CD, we have the song sung by Templeton, which we're going to play in a bit here.
Okay.
But we also have, you also put in there, and this is the part Jamie, I didn't tell her about this, the part that you put in our interview that Jamie and I did with Marsha last year sometime,
yeah.
I think, from Horses in the Morning is on the CD. So that's kind of cool. And I know Gary Holt.
I hope it was a good interview.
I love that interview.
The interview sucked. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I love that interview. Was a high energy.
Oh gosh.
Well, Marsha is high energy too, so she's great.
Well, you guys would no, I that's one of the reasons that I did that one. I thought, you know, aside from the fact that she spoke about how she got the song, which is a funny story, a great story, how she first reacted, and you know, how she first reacted to getting that song, and the story she told about it is the way I kind of reacted when, out of the blue, she called me and said, my friend Templeton Thompson, it would be okay if she sang this song at Briarfest. And, you know, and I had read up on Templeton. I knew a little bit about her as a wonderful writer.
I got to tell you, Peter, Templeton Tom, 10 years ago, 2,400 episodes ago, when we started this show, the first song we ever played was Girls and Horses, Templeton Thompson's song. 10 years
ago. We love Tempe here.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're big fans in the audiences, too. How can people get, I know, and a portion of the sales of the CD go back to the Mustang Heritage Foundation.
Correct.
I know Jamie has a bumper sticker for the foundation on her truck. So
yeah, when you go ahead and you adopt a horse out of a prison, the Mustang Heritage Foundation is there and they'll give you a bumper sticker. And I bought the hat and the damn dog chewed it up. So I need
you need a new hat. Okay. So if the Mustang Heritage Foundation is listening, Jamie needs a hat.
Need a new hat.
Because the dog ate it. But how do people get the CD? How do they help?
Well, right now they can contact me at my email, which is pvprince@aol.com. And they can also contact Melody, which is called Running Horses, Melody@runninghorses.com. .com or .org, I'm not sure. There is, I did put up a display. I don't know, I think I got that up on your Facebook page. There's a display which shows, what the look of the album and the look of the CD. The beautiful, painting, or what was an original oil painting of Cobra, is the front cover. So, but one of the things that right now we're trying to do is get the CD into the online store of the Mustang Heritage Foundation. And Matt Monroe, who I have had contact with, who is the marketing executive there, indicated that he would like to have that. So we're kind of in the process of that. I hope they take that on. It would be great coming right from them,
That would be, that would make it a lot easier to sell a lot more for sure.
Absolutely. Go to a wider audience, but that's the way it is right now. So,
all right. I'll post your email address in our show notes for this episode as well. If you can send me the artwork again, or the CD cover, a picture of it, that would be great.
And then I'll send it to you on your, I'll send it to you under your name there.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good.
That would be fabulous.
Well, we're going to play Cobra done by Templeton Thompson here to take you out. So thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for supporting the horse world and such a cool horse that really has led the way and
absolutely
really gotten awareness out there for Mustangs and the kind of things they can accomplish. Cobra was one of the ones that did that, for sure.
Absolutely. He is an ambassador of his breed. He's an icon, an ambassador. By luck, fate and whatever you want to call it, same with me. That's the way I look at it. I got involved in this, and this has been an amazing journey for me, for the past, I guess, almost 3 years. So, and I appreciate, of course, what you guys are doing just to have me on. That's great. Thank you,
Peter. And hello to Marcia. We need to have her back on again soon. But this is Templeton Thompson singing Cobra the Mustang. Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
Dark paint Mustang, branded outlaw, came to her from western skies. A dark paint Mustang from Nevada, fear and fire in his eyes. Was unwanted, uncontaining, three-strike loser, why even try? He's much too wild, they said, too dangerous. Nothing but a waste of time. She was patient, calm, and fearless. Slowly she would earn his trust. Sometimes the heart is all that matters. He surrendered to her gentle touch. Silent signs, unspoken language. Trained him in the horse ballet. The highest art of horse and rider. The greatest gift each other gave.
Our friend Templeton Thompson with Cobra the Mustang. So when are your Mustangs going to be riding Grand Prix? Just checking.
Zeus is outside working on his pee off right now.
I bet
in the pasture.
Is. I bet he is.
I can see him right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, less than a month away is Valentine's Day. It's coming up and everyone thinks about jewelry as a gift for Valentine's Day. Well, I know as America's horse husband, if we are getting horse girls jewelry, it better have something to do with horses, or it doesn't always go over well. So that's where Kelly Herd Jewelry has you covered. Just send your horse husband the link to Kelly Herd Jewelry, and also tell him there's a coupon. If he uses the coupon code HRN, he can get 20% off, or her, depending. One of their best sellers is the sterling silver mare and foal necklace that you'll find. It's a lot of times it's right on their homepage. And if you want to go more traditional, they have many heart pendants. And in the ring department, they have the new horseshoe rings, which apparently were a huge hit over the holidays. I was talking to Kelly about that. Visit KellyHerdJewelry.com today for all your Valentine's needs. And remember, use the coupon code HRN to get 20% off. Well, while Jamie, while we were at WESA, we were walking around in the midst of all of the many thousands of cowboy boots, and we saw these very pretty English tall boots. And all of a sudden,
what?
I know.
You never see those at WESA. No, WESA is a Western show.
Well, there's a lot of English products coming in there now. So I want you to hear the little interview that we got to do with the family. It was fun. We found walking by, well, first of all, there are a ton of cowboy boots here at WESA. So when we walked by the Tatini booth, we saw English riding boots and said, oh, we got to stop and talk to them because it's so unusual. And we met Tanner and Trisha, and they're both Tettinis.
That's correct.
And you guys are your first time here.
First time here, yes. We had our first appearance at ADA this year. And you're right about the Western appearance. We were the first people without a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we're making an appearance and standing out so far.
Although you could, because you're from Italy, right? A lot of cowboy hats in Italy. The family's from Italy.
That's correct. So, yeah. The company line started 1860 in Spoleto, and we're the ancestors as well.
So oh, is that right? That's a well, you're name. What, the fifth generation? Fourth, fifth generation?
I'd say fourth generation.
Yeah.
You know?
And they started making English riding boots?
English riding boots. We have apparel as well, all from 1860.
Wow.
Yep.
They've changed the design since then, or is it still the same?
Yep, completely revised every single year. They're not in black and white anymore.
Yeah. I like that, actually. So what makes your boots different than the other riding boots that are out there?
That's a great question. So this is the first year we've brought them to the United States, so we have a lot of competitive values against, you know, Parlanci, Ariat. The difference, mainly, we have a U.S. patent. It's an air boost technology system in the sole. So it's actually going to push out air with each step for all day wear.
So it's like the Air Nikes?
Yeah, essentially. But we actually are pushing air out at the same time.
There's a little thing in the bottom of the heel.
Exactly.
Do you squish when you...
Makes you 10 times faster when you run.
Little bits. Look at that. There are little tiny bits in the back of the heel.
Something we wanted to combat is a lot of people slide their shoes on for the shows and then take them off after.
Right.
Now, we've made a boot that you actually could wear all day. For instance, we're wearing ours at our show 8 hours today, tomorrow.
And we have noticed even at shows now, more and more people trying to wear their boots all day. And you can tell the comfy boots because those are the people that have them on all day.
Exactly.
You know?
And even if you're not wearing them all day, then they're more comfortable when you are wearing them.
The leather is kind of buttery soft. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's premium calfskin leather, unlike some other brands. They're also handcrafted, so they're not in a factory. They're not all made the exact same with the repetitive mass production style.
Our top and boot has the micro-pierced calfskin leather, so the riders are really loving it, so it doesn't sweat as much with
on
your
the inside.
Breeches on the inside.
Okay.
We have a lot of Florida riders,
Ocala.
So
yep.
They're loving this boot. This one also has the interchangeable straps, so you can get a little bling.
And you have the gussets at the top. Okay.
Yep. And they're all equipped with the YKK zipper as
yep.
well.
So Do they even make boots without zippers anymore? I remember in our days of working at the tack shop, my job was to put the boots, and this was 25 years ago, on and off, and no zippers back then. I remember we were selling when the first zipper came in, and I was so excited because I didn't have to cut boots off of women anymore trying them on.
Or have them lay down and pull
exactly,
them off of them.
Exactly. Right. And we did that a few times because they all think they're smaller than they are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you want that tight fit as well. Yeah. So.
Now, the one thing about the Italian boots is they do have a look. I mean, you can tell the Italian boots.
You can tell
boots.
Italian versus anything else.
You
That's
can.
Correct.
I mean, they have the look. So where do people find them? Where do they go?
So right now, you can see them online at www.tatiniboots.com. There's two T's in the middle there, T-A-T-T-I-N-I, boots.com. We're also spreading across retailers right now. So we've already entered into 4 retailers, had a great turnout at Wessa so far. Looking forward to everything else that's about to happen. And I think you'll see them expand in the U.S. as we go here.
So you can find Tettini, just go to their website and check out the boots. They are really, really nice boots. There is one thing about the Italian boots, and they just look good. And I did check the prices on these, Jamie, and I was expecting them to be in the over $1,000 range for these tall boots, and they were in the $400 to $600 from the ones I saw. So
nice.
Yeah, it wasn't like they were totally out of the ballpark.
Right.
Yeah.
They sounded like they'd be pretty pricey with the name and the, you know, custom type of feel to the way they made them.
It's Tettini, T-A-T-T-I-N-I, boots.com. I have a quick list here before we get to Abby. And of course, Abby comes on once a month and gives us the chronicle and history. And she is doing the year 1949 this year.
So, what?
Yeah,
awesome.
1949, right after World War II. So I found this list over at Horse and Hound, and it was the 10 things that only happen to horse owners. And the first one on the list happened to me yesterday. Jennifer insists that I have to put hay nets up for the pony because she has the slow-eating hay nets to stop him from wolfing his food down.
And the pony's barefoot. Let's point that out.
Yeah. So I have to, you know, first of all, getting hay in the hay nets is always a trouble for a horse husband. But I managed to do that. I figured out a system now. But I go to hang it up in his field, and he comes over immediately and takes his head and whacks it. And it, the hay net hits me right in the face. So that was number one on their list. And it
so that's on their list that you get whacked in the face with hay nets?
Yes. And it has happened to be more than once. And that's something.
Can I tell you something really gross?
Yeah.
Well, so I know this girl who was putting up a hay net. This is just for future warnings, just so you guys take care of yourselves. She was putting up a hay net, and she was like, kind of put her hand inside it to like move some hay around and squish down or something. And she was tying, I think she was tying it up and like looped it around, and the horse took a bite of the hay net and pulled back, but got the net. And as she was tying it, it tightened around the very last knuckle of her finger.
Oh,
and
no.
Popped it off. Ugh. Like
it's
that.
The same reason you're not supposed to wrap the lead rope around your hand.
Yes, exactly. Don't put your finger in the circles in the halter. Don't put your arm through a stirrup. Don't put your fingers. Don't let the horse eat the hay while you're on the hay net while you're tying it up, because your finger gets caught and it'll pop last.
And I've been around you and Jennifer so long that if my finger accidentally gets put in the ring in the halter, I freak out because like, because sometimes your finger just accidentally goes in it, right? And it's like, oh. Can't do that.
Lose your finger. Put a lead rope on.
How about the first time you wear your beautiful, expensive breeches and the horse just slobbers all over them?
I mean, the white breeches is just the worst
idea.
That's
your nightmare.
It's my nightmare.
It is. How about you realize the horse has been quiet for a little too long, and then you find him in his stall and his blanket is completely ripped off his body and stomped into the poo?
Yeah, any time that there's a peaceful moment outside, I'm like, where is he? What's he doing? Where is he? Has he escaped?
The next one I can relate to very well, because Scooter is good at this. When you go in, we use a wheelbarrow to clean his paddock. So I go into his paddock, and yes, I do. I'm in charge of cleaning his paddock with my flex and fork. And I go into his paddock, and I have to bring food. If he does not have food, he will immediately walk up, grab the handle with his mouth, and dump the wheelbarrow.
He thinks that's
great fun. So it's my only choice other than tying him someplace is to give him some food, and then he doesn't dump the wheelbarrow. And yes, he does. Another thing on this list is the first time you walk 2 miles across a field in your full riding outfit, and you try and or you're going back because your horse dumped you. And you're riding back. You were going over that hedge or that jump.
That has a name. It's called the Walk of Shame.
The Walk of Shame, yes.
The Walk of Shame. You got to go get your
damn... It's always a brand new outfit because it now just got covered in mud.
Yep.
How about the first time... Well, we've talked about this before. You go to the supermarket and people wonder why you smell. That happens to all of us. And then how about you discover your horse lying down? This is a romantic one. And you decide to lie down with him and just hang out with your horse, and you end up spending an hour on the ground with him. And I have never had a horse that did that. Everyone I've ever tried that with got up.
So, you need to rethink your
approach. I've never had that happen. Even the draft horses got up. So there you go. There's just some of the things that happen only to horse owners that only we can relate to.
So now I like number 8, that when you go to the supermarket straight from the barn and you wonder why people are looking at you. So like I said, on Tuesdays, I have kickboxing and my farrier comes. She comes to kickboxing with me on Tuesday. And I'm like, thank God you're here. You're going to be my partner, because you always have to get a partner. I'm like, you're the only one who understands my smell. And she like smells like hoof and I smell like, you know, horse poo. So so we're good partners, but other than that, I just would feel sorry for somebody having to be my partner at the gym afterward. I mean, who showers before you go to the gym, right? Nobody. So I just go to the gym smelling really bad. And thank God,
Married to a farrier, that smell is awful.
You know who she's dating?
No. Some
another
rock star.
Another farrier.
Oh. There you go. Abby's coming up. We need to ask her about this. She's married to a farrier.
That's right.
We need to find out about the smell thing, because I could not do it. And especially if they're hot chewing. That's an awful smell. That's just like, I couldn't do it. So Abby's coming on. She's with Chronicle of the Horse and going to do our Chronicle and History segment. Hi, Abby.
Hello there.
So, Abby, we were just talking about some things that only happen to horse people, and one of them is our smell when we go out in public. So I said I could never be married to a farrier because I cannot stand that. That's an awful smell. So do you have to make him shower before you touch him when he comes in the house? What's the story?
Well, A, no, because I like the smell, which is weird. But B, it's so funny. So I have a really good friend at my barn who's also married to another farrier, and they are the biggest clean freaks. Like, my husband showers twice a day.
Really?
And, like, I'm a horse girl, right? I don't do that. And apparently, they make fun of us behind our backs. Like, apparently, they had, like, a whole discussion about how we don't deodorize our helmets.
And this is a farrier?
I know. So, yeah, they're both, like, very really into hygiene and, like, cleanliness, and it boggles my mind. So.
That's not real-world stuff. Talk to me about you. So when your husband comes home from work, because Chad used to come home from work smelling like jet fuel, and I'd be like, ugh. And so he's like, some people like that smell, and I'm like, I don't. Go shower. Or he comes home from the golf course, and I'm like, you smell like golf chemicals. So when your husband comes
at
home.
At that point.
Or booze.
Could be worse.
When he walks in the door, give me your, like, real life opinion.
Well, so usually he gets home before I do. So by the time I get home, he's usually already showered. For the most part, like, if he comes home on the weekend and I'm home, I don't know. I like the smell.
There's horses. Two kinds of farriers too. One that keeps their trucks absolutely spotless, and then there's the ones who's so much crap in the truck you couldn't find a passenger could not sit in the seat. Which
like
is
a neat. Piece of hoof in the cup holder,
exactly.
Like, what kind of farrier is your husband?
So his trailer, like his rig that he pulls to shoe, is immaculate. His truck is disgusting.
So you two work.
Yeah, and then I get in trouble. He's like, your car is disgusting. I'm like, really? Really?
Hello, pot. My name is Kettle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we are going to head into the Chronicle Closet, which I believe probably is like a huge, ginormous vault underground with no lights and, you know, no windows. So you have to bring your own flashlight to go down into this little vault, which has a chronicle through the history. The Chronicle of the Horse from day one up until today. You guys save everything, right?
Yep. Yep. We got everything.
Are these hard copies of the magazines? Or are these like computerized yet?
Microfiche.
Oh yeah, these are hard copies, yellow pages.
Oh wow!
Wow. Well, what year are we going to visit today?
We're going to visit 1949 because I think we were jumping 5-year increments, and it's been a while, so I picked this year thinking, you know, that's about
Sounds
how good,
good
I am at math.
Sounds good.
So this is right after World War II, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Lots of rule changes going on. I found the first headline that I've seen so far about dressage. So we've got a whole bunch of crazy stuff. The first one, though, I found a Chronicle quiz from the year 1949. It looks like we did these in every issue, but I wanted to quiz you guys first thing in the morning.
Okay.
So my favorite questions from this, and this one, I was very confused about what the context of this was. They don't specifically say, but when you're on a fox hunt, what is the proper procedure to be followed when a fox enters an inhabited dwelling? And they've got this little picture of like a fox jumping into someone's window of their house. So you're out fox hunting. What happens if the fox runs into someone's house? There's apparently a rule for this.
Full speed ahead.
Through the house, right through the window.
apparently, the biggest concern for them at this, hold on, I got to flip the answer page. The rule specifically talks about that you have to try to call off the hounds. That is the biggest.
You know, with the rest of them jumping in.
Right. That is the most important thing. They should then take the hounds away and the fox cannot be hunted again. You got to find a new one. And then after that, it specifies that the owner or occupier can then decide how they're going to get the fox out of their house.
I was going to say, when do they knock on the door and be like, hey, sorry, we chased a fox into your house.
Yeah. Can we have that back?
Can you shoo it out? That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. So that is, in case anyone's wondering, I don't know, how often did that happen that they had to make that a rule, number one?
I mean, it obviously happened once.
Well, it was pre-air conditioning days, too, so I guess windows would be open more, you know? I don't
know
if they had screens, but, you know, windows have been open more.
That's funny. This one is really strange. What is the meaning of, I guess this wouldn't apply anymore either because we don't find horseshoes on roads, but what is the meaning of the number of empty holes without nails if you find a horseshoe on the road?
Ooh, I have heard this, but I can't remember.
We talked about this but like 10 years ago. It was some superstition around this, right?
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah.
The number of empty holes indicates the number of years which will elapse before the finder will get married. Which is hilarious. So next time you guys are going to like look for a, you know, shoe in the paddock.
It's the bouquet of the horse world.
So question, what if you're married? Does that indicate the number of years until divorce?
The next
Maybe.
Marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We can make up our own rules. Also, aren't there only like six holes? I should know this number exactly. That doesn't listen to this. Gosh, aren't there only there's not that many.
You're married to a farrier. You should know this.
All the shoes are different, farrier's wife, okay? Some have four on each side, some up five, some up three.
That's right. Yeah, okay. And then...
okay,
she brushed right past that, you notice.
We're moving on before I get in trouble. And then, what is the derivation of the word polo? This one was cool. I didn't know this.
Oh, I don't know this either.
I don't either. This is good. I'm dying to know.
I got to do some Googling, too, because this is actually a little bit vague. But it's apparently from the Persian word pulu, which means well. But I don't know if that means well, like well water or like well and good. So hold on. I'm going to Google some Persian.
Where did the word polo come from?
Yeah. Pulu. What do we think that means? Okay, well, it's giving me nothing, so thanks, Google.
A game of Central Asian origin, polo was first played in Persia at dates given from 6th century BC to the 1st century AD. Polo was at first a training game for cavalry units and usually the king's guard or other elite troops.
Okay. Well, yeah,
how are you training? That is a lie.
I mean, that sounds very intense.
Ooh, don't Google what polo means in slang. No. Don't do that.
Okay.
That's the first thing I came
Moving
across.
On.
Thank you for the warning.
The Urban Dictionary definition.
Move on.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I can't get that out of my head.
There's so many horse words. We don't need to know what they mean in the real world.
Somebody came up with a new one. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, great. There's a really funny story that sounded in my mind kind of like it mimicked Leslie Wiley's recount of her tale with Lady Martha in Ireland. But the headline is literally, First Hunt in Ireland, Confusing. The entire article is June Badger recounting her tales of going hunting for the first time in Ireland. And sounds exactly like what Leslie described. And the sub-headline is, Good advice to follow. Pick a pilot, a good man over the country, and stick to him like the skin on your hand. So, hang on, essentially.
Find an Irish guy mentor and just hang on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to replay that. We got to replay that sometime. That has to go in the best of at some point because that was one of the classics. We won an award for that, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. We did. And I remember they played, when we were at the award ceremony, they played a little clip of it. And it was the clip of, and it's a quiet room and everybody's listening to this clip because it's Leslie telling his story. And she was like, and then I did a rotational fall. And it cuts, and everybody in the room is dead silent. Where before it was like clapping, you know, it was dead silent. I stood up and I go, "She's okay."
You did. I remember that.
Cliffhanger.
one of the more inappropriate things that I say in public, which is like, I'm like the celebrity that trips up the stairs.
But there was an audible gasp in the room. I mean,
she's all right.
Can we clap? Is it okay? Yeah.
I remember I cut that intentionally right there just to leave it there and because I had to send him that sound clip, and I cut it right there.
You did that?
Yes, I did.
Even better. Of course you did. This one I found funny because as an event rider, I have to suffer through dressage. But like I said, this is the first mention I ever have seen going through the old archives of dressage. And the headline
is people that just do dressage. Isn't that weird? That's like their thing.
I know. Very strange. Very strange. Well, the Chronicle from 1949 agrees because the headline is dressage, not an exotic kind of riding. It consists of training a horse by gradual stages to improve its performance using sound, proven, well-known principles. And this entire article is basically arguing like, hey, guys, don't make fun of dressage. We should do it. It's probably a good idea.
Oh my gosh.
That's one of the best descriptions I've ever heard of dressage, though, those two sentences.
Right?
Because they're kind of hard to explain. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better than saying it's like figure skating without the skates.
Exactly.
So give me the first two sentences again. I want to memorize this.
Okay. It consists of training a horse by gradual stages to improve its performance using sound, proven, and well-known principles. And it actually has some specifics on what the different tests included. So like the Olympic 3-day event test called for a walk, trot, and canter and collected in extended forms with numerous turns at the gates and several halts.
Like, oh my God, I'd be an Olympian.
I know.
That's
easy,
all they could do.
Right?
Move over, Cobra. Zeus and I are coming for
the... Yeah, do you remember what cross-country was like back then? It was deadly.
I wouldn't be an inventor back then.
Yeah, that's right. We just all do dressage. Much easier. But then in the same vein, they go on to talk about the modern seat over fences. This is another article from March, where they're now realizing that, you know how they kind of used to just like hang on and not really do the whole folding thing? They decided that maybe we should, like, instead of just kind of hailing a cab and hanging on up there, we should move with the horse and release and all of these fun things. So they go through where to put your stirrups and that you're, you know, apparently, you know, stirrups need to go up shorter as the jumps get higher. But then it says within reason. I'm just imagining these people reading this article, pulling the stirrups as far up as they can go. Yeah, exactly.
So modern riding began in 1949 is what we're learning.
I guess so. That's where we decided we should, you know, do some basics of dressage and figure out how to stay with our horses over the jumps.
And the Chronicle said it was gospel, because the Chronicle was it back then.
You heard it here first. Yeah. The Chronicle invented modern riding.
That's funny.
The last one I have is a really heartwarming story. It's about a huntsman. He crawled on the ice to rescue a marooned beagle during a hunt. So the beagle ran out onto the ice and fell in, and the huntsman got off and like shimmied on his belly to go pull him out.
Okay, that to me, when I think of the huntsman climbing out on the ice, obviously it's Thor, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Snow White and the Huntsman, it's Thor. What's his name? Chris. Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth. Mm-hmm. Better news story. Chris Hemsworth saves the life of a drowning puppy in the ice because he's
totally would.
I think at his size, he would have fell through the ice too.
But he's Thor, and he could just summon his hammer and get sucked out of there with the puppy.
Abby, when you're going through these, do you get sucked in for like hours?
No, I try not to because like I do have to do my job. But I mean, yeah, sometimes I go through them and try to pick out, you know, certain horses that I'm familiar with or it's a little bit unfortunate that we have to do this in podcast form because the pictures in some of these are incredible. So I always try to post a couple of those in the auditor room and everything. But that being said, we did actually just update our Missed It Monday email newsletter. It's now a Time Travel Tuesday since we've been doing it for so long. We wanted something new. So if anyone is on that email list, we're now sending out kind of same thing we do here, pictures or cartoons or quizzes from one of the old vaults. And this week we had a guess who this rider was. So it's kind of fun. And we're going back, and that's where you guys can see all of the the images that I don't really get to accurately describe when they're on audio.
So where do we sign up for? Oh, you can just go crownofhorse.com and
yep.
join the email newsletter right on the front. I'm signing up yep. right now because I love this.
Do it. Yeah, it's super fun. And then we also have, you know, further down, we'll have our what's going on the website, our current news stories. But yeah, it's some really cool stuff. We've been doing it, started the first of the year. So we've had two so far and I'm loving them so far. So hopefully you guys will too.
Glenn, we inspired the Chronicle.
Yeah, look at
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Look at that. Yeah. So yeah, diving back into the vault because we realized it was just such a good idea with all the fun we have here.
You know what else I'm going to do just for fun is I'm on crownofhorse.com and you can search forums and I'm going to go search to blanket or not to blanket or does my horse need shoes? Okay,
you
hold on.
You will be there for hours. When you talk about getting sucked into, I don't go on the forums during work.
Good call.
Does somebody Good still call. Police those or is the Chronicle just given up?
No, we do have, we kind of peruse them. And most of the people on there are, kind of regulars and they know who to, tag or call in if they need somebody. So we do try, obviously.
Are they as active as they used to be with Facebook?
They're sticking up there pretty well. We weren't really sure.
I'm looking at this,
but
in the sport horse breeding, there are 22,000 topics with 53,000 posts. Oh, the menagerie has 185,000 posts.
Oh my God.
It's like its own little community. I mean, the people on there, we've had people kind of become friends. It's a little bit like the auditor room, but it's its own little community. So it's pretty cool that it's still up there.
So you can learn about riding after a hysterectomy, Glenn.
Cover
the forum.
Everything. Doesn't it sound like the auditors, right? We talk about everything.
It does.
Yeah.
Abby, I heard we inspired the Chronicle for something else too.
Yes, very much so. So we are getting into the game. We are actually launching a podcast this year. It's going to be once a month since we obviously have so much going on here, but we launched two last year just as kind of a soft launch to test everything out. So if you go to crownofhorse.com, you'll see on the top bar there is a podcast section. You can also get them obviously wherever you get your podcasts. The two we did last year, just as kind of intro topics, we did discuss Safe Sport, the very controversial new policies with Packy McGon, who's a prominent event rider and coach and also an attorney, and then Dr. Jenny Susser, who is a sports psychologist. So that was a really interesting discussion. And then we also had Stacia Madding come on in November to discuss some equitation exercises and tips and tricks. So we're going to be doing them once a month.
Are you hosting?
Those are kind of I'm not. Molly Bailey is hosting. Okay. She's fantastic.
I know Molly.
And so the next one upcoming will be at the end of January. It matches really well with our rider health and fitness issue that just came out, which is free to the public. You guys can go on our Facebook page or on our website and get it there. But we had a really, really well done article by Laura Lemon on mental health, where she talked to Matt Brown, who's an event rider, and a couple of other hunter jumper riders. And we're actually going to be interviewing him for the podcast and talking about mental health and what he does to kind of keep his mind sharp and stay as stress-free as possible. So that'll be, we're not trying to, pick the topics too far out. Want to stay relevant and kind of go with what's going on in the industry at the time. So look forward to those. I'm really excited about them because, as you know, I love podcasts.
So maybe you've already said this. Are you the host?
No, I'm not. Molly Bailey, she's our fantastic, one of our senior journalists and marketing coordinators. She is the host. She's done a fantastic job. She's so professional, but she keeps it really, well, really good at explaining things, just very eloquent and really gets down to the heart of all the issues because we want to make sure we're getting into the tough stuff, like with the Safe Sport one. So, we've got some really cool ones lined up. Hopefully you guys are able to tune in.
Very good. Well, thank you, Abby. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll see you next month. So it would be the year 1954.
That's right.
I did the math for you this time. So
thank you, Glenn.
Thanks,
write that down.
Thanks, guys. All right, we'll see you later. Bye.
Well, we have time for some happy stories. Look at us inspiring podcasters worldwide. We have some time for some happy stories. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Oh gosh, I bet. Is yours like emotional and sweet, or is it like mine, which is like ridiculous and kind of sarcastic?
Oh, well, then I'll go first.
No, because if you're going to cleanse from mine, right, then you should go last.
You do yours first then. Yeah, mine's more sweet than yours, I think.
My good news is to let you know, in the world of celebrities, that some of them are going to be okay. All right, and let me tell you what I mean. Did you know you can buy insurance for various body parts of yours?
Yes, I did know that. Like, models will get their legs insured, or you can get your vocal cords insured if you're a singer, that kind of thing.
Or if you're David Beckham, I can't even say the name without choking. David Beckham has insured his entire body for $195 million.
Whoa. How much did that cost a year?
There's got to be a good premium on that. Jennifer Lopez will be okay. Her booty is going to be fine because she has insurance on it for $27 million.
On her booty?
On her butt.
What happened to it, by the way?
You got bit by a dog and now there's a scar and you get $27 million. If that's the case, I'm going to be running down the street naked. Y'all, somebody come get me.
Well, it is kind of her thing, right? I mean, it's her calling card.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine what Kim Kardashian's is insured for?
I don't know. She hasn't insured her butt. Kim Kardashian West. She did insure her butt.
Yeah, there you go.
Look at that. And she's only $21 million.
What? Hers is bigger than J-Lo's.
Hers, that can't be real. I mean, I've seen pictures and angles. I'm like, that can't be real. Yeah, $21 million for her booty. J-Lo is 27, though, so she's really bringing it. Cristiano Ronaldo, his legs are insured for $144 million. And you don't know who that is,
but he is a
drop-dead, most beautiful man on the planet soccer player. Oh, dear God. Like, he's hotter than David Beckham.
How much are his legs worth?
$144 million.
How much does he make a year playing soccer?
About that. Let's see. They pay him $144 million, and then they actually had to buy his contract from Manchester United for €94 million. So he's worth it. I watched a special about him on HBO. God,
the premium have to be millions a year.
He doesn't pay it. The soccer team.
Still, I mean, it has to be millions a year.
Julia Roberts. Do you know what she insured of hers?
Her nose.
Her smile for $30 million. What about Mariah Carey? What would you think Mariah Carey
would? Oh, who knows with Mariah Carey?
She insured her legs for $1 billion. Why? What's going to happen? Like, are you going to lose one in a train accident or something? You're like, oh, I lost a leg. I need $1 billion.
Can she sing with one leg?
Why would you not insure your voice?
Your vocal cords. Right. Exactly.
Did you know she's earned $30 million by singing that one Christmas song?
Oh, she's the best. It's the most downloaded song ever in history.
All I want for Christmas.
And apparently now it was number money. One again this year.
Yeah. Gene Simmons. Do you know what he insured?
His tongue.
His tongue is insured for $1 million. In case he bites it off, he can get $1 million.
It's getting old, though, his tongue. Do you think the value goes down over time?
I don't know. It's really gross. It's really gross. Taylor Swift, thank God her legs are insured for $40 million. Again, what's with the legs and not the vocal cords?
I don't know.
She's insured her legs for $40 million, but Heidi Klum is only insured her legs for $2 million.
And Heidi Klum's legs seem to go for about a mile.
They are legs for days. Yeah. All right. Finally, one more person that you don't have to worry about. And I'm going to have you guess. What did Dolly Parton insure her?
Oh, I have a guess. Her vocal cords.
Yes. No, I'm just kidding.
I was too.
She has insured each breast for $4.4 million.
Case of deflate? I you know what?
I don't know, but I just wanted that to be our happy story to let you know that your favorite celebrities, they are going to be okay if they lose a leg or a boob.
And I'm going to cleanse you from the thoughts of body parts with my happy story.
Okay, please
Roughly 6,500 Alabama households received a notice in the mail that their medical debts had been forgiven at Christmas time. 6,500 households. And you know, medical debts, they can get huge quickly. Well, apparently what happened is St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Mountain Brook in Alabama decided to do a fundraiser to celebrate its 70th anniversary. And they raised enough money that they actually went to collection agencies and said, hey, look, we raised $78,000. We want to buy $78,000 worth of debt. Well, collection agencies, you know, will negotiate your debts down to practically nothing. So it amounted to $8.1 million in medical expenses that they were able to buy for $78,000. And they didn't tell the people. They just sent them notices that they were paid off. And these were people that were in collection. So good for them. That is a neat kind of fundraiser. And you know, when you have medical debt, and we have had that in the past, when you have medical debt, it just eats at you because they do not stop. So good for them. So there's my happy story. Now you can stop thinking about breasts and butts.
And you just brought it right back to the forefront. All right. What'd you learn today?
I learned that people like our show and they put us on a CD, on a music CD. How cool is that? Crazy. That's pretty cool. I also learned that in 1949, modern writing was invented. Which I didn't know.
You actually picked up some information.
I did.
That's really good.
I got to say, Abby, if you're still listening, you were on it today. Boom, boom, boom. It was great.
That's why I said she should be the host of that podcast. And that's what I learned. Is she needs to host a podcast. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
And we'll be back with, speaking of fox hunting episode tomorrow. Some really bad ads on Friday.